How many of you are thankful this morning you woke up? How many of you were thankful this morning you got dressed? You had clothes to put on. How many of you are thankful that you had some form of transportation to get you here this morning? Yep. How many of you are thankful that you're here? How many of you are thankful that you're part of the family of God? How many of you are thankful for Jesus and what he did for us? So now we're, if that thankfulness is truly working in your heart, you're ready to receive the word. Because we come with a thankful heart and a grateful heart. Because we're a part of the family of God. Amen? Amen. Well, a couple had two little boys, 8 and 10, who were exceedingly mischievous. The two were always getting into trouble, and their parents could be assured if there was mischief occurring in their town, the two little sons were always involved in it some way. The parents were at their wits' end as to what to do with their sons' behaviors, and the mother had heard that a pastor in town had been successful in disciplining children in the past. So she asked her husband if he thought it would be a good idea for him to speak to the boys. The husband said, "Well, we might as well. We need to do something before I lose my temper." The pastor agreed to come and speak with the boys, but he said, "I must see them individually." So he started with the 8-year-old, who met him with him first, and the pastor sat him down and asked the boys sternly, "Where is God?" The boy made no response. So the pastor repeated the question even more sternly, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. So the clergyman raised his voice and shook his finger in his face and said, "Where is God?" And the boy bolted from the room, ran home, ran up the stairs, slammed the door to the closet he went to hide in, while his older brother was not far behind him, followed him into the closet and asked him, "What happened?" The younger boy replied, "We're in big trouble. God's missing, and they think we took him." Sometimes as families, we have interesting things happen. Not always are we perfect in the way we handle ourselves with each other, but you know what? It's wonderful to be a part of the family of God and what God has done. And this morning, we're going to kind of go through the covenants God has created, or God had with mankind. And we're going to probably do, Betty, is the arrow on the screen? Yeah. No? There we go. Maybe. No. Okay. There we go. Okay. So, covenant family. One of the things, when we look through Scripture, you can look through Scripture and see God as angry. You can see God as that pastor. Where's God? You know. Or we can see the love and the character of God through all Scripture. I know I'm not going to talk too much of that because I think that's part of what Ted's going to cover. But we're going to look at the idea of covenant. God wants a covenant family with us. So what does this word covenant mean? It's a chosen relationship or partnership between two parties, making binding promises to each other and working together to reach a common goal. This is accompanied usually by oaths, signs, or ceremonies. Defined obligations and commitments are agreed to that are personal and relational and differ from a contract in that it does not release one party from the covenant based on the other party's failure to uphold their end of it. Now, when we think of this, who God is, he is faithful to his covenants. Faithfulness is part of his character. And when he made covenants with mankind, his desire was to bless the family. He wanted family. And God's covenant, when he made covenant, usually has an order. There's his promise, and then man's commitment to it. There's an oath or a sign or a ceremony. And following the fall, there's usually shedding of blood to seal the deal, if I could put it, sign it in ink. And in Hebrews 9:22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So if we go to the story of Genesis and Adam and Eve, we know, and in chapter 2, I'm going to read here, is Genesis 2:21-24. It says, so God caused man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord made a woman from the rib, and he had taken from the man, and he brought her to man. The man said, oh, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken from man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. We see kind of the first covenant here being the covenant of marriage. And when we think of this definition we have up here of what it is, it's about relationship and it's about partnership. It's not about a contract. And how many times today have we seen marriage being looked at as contract, not covenant? And marriage is covenant. The two become one flesh. You ask anybody who's been divorced or whatever, there's a ripping apart of flesh. It hurts, and it is not pleasant. It's a covenant relationship. And again, we can think of the whole idea of marriage and the image that God has created, designed. Let me rephrase that, not image. He's created us in his image, male and female. We are in the likeness of God. We bear a family resemblance. God goes on to bless them. He gives them all they need, including relationship with him. He walks with them in the cool of the day, in the garden. He gives them position. They're to rule over the earth. He gives them purpose, tend the garden and multiply. Fill the earth, in fact, he says. God wants a big family, nothing like a big family. A family that trusts him and his word and looks to him to be the providing father. So if we look at this first covenant, see if I can get it up there, with Adam and Eve, it's about marriage. And the promise is there's identity, blessing, presence, provision, and purpose. And the commitment is trustingly obey his word. And the sign is they became one flesh. Moving on. Well, we know it wasn't long before there was the fall, and not long out the gates, the first thing that, first thing we see in Scripture is Cain and Abel. That wasn't a good scene. Right off the bat, murder. Well, things don't go uphill from there. They go downhill. And we know that God in his great patience waits on God's people. And they just, the heart of man becomes wicked. And, I'm not going to go over that whole story. Then we come to a place of the flood. God says, that's it. At one point he says, I'm sorry I even made man. And I just say that, and children don't hear it this way, but sometimes I think when we've been frustrated, when our kids in a mess, whatever, and our hearts are just aching, and you sometimes think, man, I wish I never had kids. You know, there's that moment that sometimes that we hurt so bad, and there was God. He knows what that's like. His heart hurt. I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to wipe them all out. And then he says, I'm going to start fresh, because he finds one righteous man and his name is Noah. Now, I can go and tell you the whole story about Noah, but I think you could probably guess what happens there. And we're going to go to the after the flood, when God makes a covenant. And after the flood, this what happens is this: we're starting afresh. God's promise, a fresh family start. Again, there's a promise of identity, blessing, presence, provision to Noah and his sons and their descendants and every living creature. That's Genesis 9, 7 to 11. He promises, never again will he curse the ground because of humans and destroy the living creatures. All life and all the earth be destroyed by the waters of flood. Promise. And it's interesting because just before God has talked about this covenant with Noah, he said something to them. Now, I'm going to put it up there as saying that this is part of man's commitment, but God really didn't ask them to commit to this. He just said, listen here, follow this. Don't eat meat with its blood life still in it. And don't, now that shouldn't be she human blood, that should be shed. Sorry, I forgot the D. For we are created in God's image. What was the first thing that happened out the gates of Eden? Murder. And God stayed and not right. Eat the animals, but this is how you do it. But do not harm mankind. They're created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God. And some of us forget that. And we mock what God's created. Ever been there? And so God has set up and he says, I'm never going to do this again. And he gives them a sign. And that sign is the rainbow. I'm going to put my bow in the sky. And every time you see that rainbow, every time the animals see the rainbow, you know, he says for all creatures, there is the promise of God. Now, I don't know how God communicates with the animals, but I'm sure he does. And we have a promise. So when we, you know, see the storm clouds coming, guess what's coming on the other side? A sign of the promise of God. Well, he also told Noah the same thing he said to Adam and Eve. Noah and his sons, go forth, multiply, be fruitful, fill the earth, and rule over it. And so they did. They increased in the earth. And if you are in your Bibles, if you turn over to chapter 9 of Genesis, this is how good God is. He makes this covenant with the new family that's coming. But in Genesis 6, he said, I meant the wrong one. That's not the one I want. It is actually starting in verse 20. This is before he gives the covenant. It says, Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offering on it. And the Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Okay. God continues to wanting to be in covenant, even though he knows our hearts are wicked. From childhood. Well, we heard about the two little boys. How many of you ever did something mischievous when you were younger? Absolutely. That's in our hearts. But God is faithful. And so we know that it goes on from there. Guess what happens? We have a fresh start with Noah and his family. And I'm going to say a little while after off the boat, there's enough time for Noah to plant a vineyard, grow some grapes, and make some wine. That takes a little bit of time. And then Noah gets drunk and finds himself naked in his tent. Well, actually, he doesn't find himself. His son Canaan does. Now, there's all kinds of what happened there, but we don't know, other than the fact that Canaan comes out and talks to his brothers about it. And it seems to me that Canaan is being a little bit, dad, you know, naked, drunk, being very dishonoring. And the two other brothers are honoring of their father, and that they walk in backwards with a, I'm going to say, blanket between the two of them, walking backwards so they won't see him, and just cover him up so they won't see him naked. Honoring. So again, we say right from the very beginning, guess what's happening in the heart of man? And it goes on and on and on. And then God does this. Oops, let me see if I can get it maybe to move forward. Betty, I'm not sure why this isn't. We got a mouse moving, not moving. There we go. Then we go on where God creates a covenant with Abraham. And it starts where God asks Abraham to, and again, I'm not going to put these up there for you, but they're Genesis 12. We're going to look at Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17. So one of the things about the relationship with Abraham and God is it's kind of a progressive development in this relationship. God speaks to Abraham, says, leave your family and take your wife Sarah and go to the land I'm leading you. And he's 75 years old. Up and move. Trust me. So Abraham almost trusts him. Up and moves, but takes his nephew Lot, which he was told not to. But God still continues to lead Abraham. Of course, there's a whole incident with Lot. Lot ends up being kidnapped, and Abraham goes and rescues. And after that, Abraham says to God, look, he's still called Abram. I don't have any kids. And all I have is going to go to a servant. And then God does something. He takes Abraham outside and says, look at the stars. This is how many are going to be your descendants. God makes a promise. And again, we go on. And that's in to verse or chapter 17 in Genesis. And we have the covenant that's established. Oops, I went a little too far. When Abraham was 99 years old, anybody here feeling younger than Abraham? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. And it goes on, and you could read it and know that this progressive covenant that's happened, there was a time where, before this, where Abraham split animals in half, and there's a whole thing. And, well, I'm not going to spend the time going there. In fact, I encourage you to read it. It's very interesting. But God had a plan for Abraham to be, through his family, to bless the whole earth, starting at age 99. Well, no, it was even earlier than that, but it's been a progressive learning who God is and understanding this covenant. Here's the covenant I want with you, Abraham. I'm going to change your name, and I'm going to call you, he was Abram, he's now Abraham. We know him as Abraham. Abraham, the father of many. Now, every time Abraham hears his name, he's going to be reminded of who he is in the eyes of the Lord. I'm the father of many. I'm the father of many. And believe it or not, this covenant comes after Ishmael, who the Lord had, you know, that was Abraham's attempt to take God's promise in his own hands. But we're at this point. And God makes a covenant. And in Genesis 17:7, it says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So God's promises a huge family. He also promised him a land to take them to. And that the family line, again, we haven't read that this morning, is going to bring universal blessings to all families in the world. God's commitment, or man's commitment, to leave the family, the land, trust God, follow his leading. Walk blamelessly before God. Train up your family to do what is just and right, and keep circumcision in every generation. And there's the sign, circumcision. And every male, daily, after childhood, would see that sign several times a day of covenant between God and him. Well, how many of you know it wasn't long before things go sideways again? And eventually we're in Egypt, slaves, and Moses is on the scene. And God now is going to establish a covenant with all of Israel, all the descendants of Jacob, who was renamed Israel. I didn't use the Charlton Heston pictures. A people of God who would represent God to all mankind in the world. And if we turn to Exodus chapter 31, and we're going to go to verse, 18. Verse 18. When the Lord had finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. So there had been this time with God and the covenant law given. Oh, come on, there we go. And again, God gives this nation identity, blessing, presence, provision, and purpose. And man's commitment is to keep trusting him and his word, his law, the direction and instructions for living well as community. And sometimes we don't see that that's what that's in the Old Testament, to living well as community, as God's partner to represent him to the rest of the world. That was what the job was for the family of the tribe of Israel. And so what was the sign? Well, I just started with, there was the tabernacle and there was worship, and what I didn't put up there, there was his presence with them. His presence. I'm sorry, I missed it. Well, again, we know up and down, the commitment to God in this covenant wasn't long before it was broken. And soon we have, I think it's going to go forward. Give Betty a chance to get the mouse back over there. Is it over there? There we go. We have a king, and his name is King David. And God's covenant with him is there's a large nation to be ruled over by a godly king. And the promise is given to David. That from his line, and we'll just look at David, that from his line would come one who would rule. That his descendants would always be on the throne. But again, as things happen, didn't quite go the way I think David thought it would, or maybe he did know. But here's the God's promise. One of from the line of David will extend God's kingdom of peace and blessing to all nations. Your house and throne will be established forever. David and his descendants, their commitment was to trust God, obey God's word and his law, and lead Israel in obeying the law and doing what was right and just. Well, again, we had Solomon after David, and then things just went sideways again. But God kept his covenant promise. Not that there would be someone sitting on the throne as they thought, but that there was a new covenant coming. And, that was the sign. Sorry, I need to move forward here. And that is Jesus. Jesus has fulfilled all the covenants. Now, you're going to see it starts with number two as we've been talking about the covenants. Number two, second covenant in the new was Noah, the fresh start. And through Jesus in the new covenant, we have a fresh start. Number three, he is from the line of Abraham, bringing blessing to the whole world. For he is an Israelite, he is an Israelite who has completely fulfilled the law. He is from the line of David, the line of David, extending God's kingdom of justice and peace to all people. Now, the first one, remember the first covenant was the covenant of marriage? He's the second Adam. He is the bridegroom. And when we think about his death on the cross, and when they pierced his side, and the blood flowed out, there was a new covenant for the new bride in Christ. And he is our bridegroom. And Ralph already read this morning from Hebrews 8:6. It says, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant which he is mediator over is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. He has brought us forgiveness. He has brought us into the family of God. Are you glad you're part of the family of God? There's a covenant family of God through Jesus. He's given us his Holy Spirit to help us fulfill covenant. We have eternal redemption and eternal life. And I can go on and on, but alas, the time. But he's given us this choice. In him, there's that opportunity for the new partnership, the new covenant with God. And Jesus invites us to become a part of God's covenant family through Jesus, in Jesus. And in spite of all our failures, he's the one who's working in us by his Holy Spirit to help us become those faithful partners we were meant to be. Jesus, the second Adam, the bridegroom. Oh, I've got some scriptures there you can look at. I've already covered them. We are the bride of Christ, and he is our bridegroom. When we think of what Jesus has done and who we are in Christ and the covenant we have, are you a covenant believer? In the new covenant. And this morning, if that's not you, I challenge you to just talk to somebody and say, I want to become a part of the covenant family of God. I want to accept this invitation that Jesus has given. And for those of us who are believers, we have amazing covenant. And guess who kept it? Jesus. It's all fulfilled in Jesus. And we, in Jesus, walk in that fulfilled covenant. And he's bringing us step by step, sort of like Abraham, into the fullness of that covenant that's already ours in Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. Ralph is bringing up the prayer box. Do you want to? Okay. We're going to pray, and then we'll invite Ted to come and share a little bit before we dismiss. Father, again, we thank you for all the things that we have in Christ, and every prayer that has been placed in here has been answered through him. Amen. And so, Lord, we stand in that covenant. We believe you. We believe your word, and we're family who pray for our family and say thank you for the blessings that you are pouring out over every prayer, the answer to every prayer that is here. Again, Father, we give you the glory and the praise in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Amen.